Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 225, top of the day to you, Tom.
Hello, 225.
225.
Feels like it's kind of big in, but not really. Anyway, that's enough celebration of the moment.
Was so quick, I didn't even get to inhale to celebrate it. We'll be reviewing not just stuff that we've watched this week, but we've both got books in front of us.
Done some reading.
Some books are a little thicker than others.
Yeah. Well, some of us are thicker than others. It makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I enjoy that. I've got some cool news stuff that I've seen around the traps, and I'll be interested to see if maybe you've got a couple of them, because I think both there are a couple in there that seem like ones that you would have been drawn to as well.
I've got a couple of news stories, two trailers, I've got a fun fact, and I'm also nursing quite a hangover.
Oh, nice. Where did you, how did you get that?
I drank a lot of red wine.
Red wine.
I'm going to the Gold Coast next week. Hooray. But Shay has already gone up there with my parents. So I made Linz and I a very fancy steak veggie dinner last night,
very
and we
good. Got
into the red wine, and I was going to drink a little bit, and then I drank a lot. And then I woke up at like 3:30 and vomited.
Oh, no, that much.
Well, I didn't think it was that much. I put everyone to bed, and then I went and lay on the couch, and I was eating Doritos while watching Tournament of Champions, and I fell asleep. Mm. So I think maybe that played a part of, maybe I got a Dorito stuck in my throat to sleep on the
Doritos
couch. Didn't sit well.
Doritos and red wine. Oof.
It was a bold mix when it came out. Anyway,
well,
enjoy that visual.
I treated myself to sparkling water.
Oh.
Last night, whoa, look out.
Living that dream.
Time to go crazy.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the leaves that, at this time of year, turn colour and eventually fall to the ground. I'm not talking about autumn or fall, which gets its name from this action, just the leaves themselves. They do it each year without fail, and we are grateful.
I've just been told it's not literally the same foliage that does it each year. It's more like the descendants of the ones who descended the year before, they do the descending the following year. You've probably noticed all the signs in people's front lawns, ads on the How to Fix a Broken Doorknob YouTube video that you're desperately trying to skip because, well, the doorknob fell off and you're stuck in a room and you just want to watch a video and figure out how to get out. People are waving signs at traffic in the morning and pamphlets on who to vote for are all in your letterbox. Yep, it's that time where people get out, line up and vote for who we want to complain about for the next few years. All of the Watchersville public schools will be official polling stations. And all of the seedy lanes behind the bars in the entertainment quarter will be the unofficial ones. Choose carefully where you decide to vote on the day, because there will be fines issued and the back alley lanes have not been given the electoral list this year. Penny Pennywise, Mr. Scary Pennywise's daughter, has made an astounding confession. She's too scared to watch any sort of horror films and therefore has only seen her father's performance in the 1987 Christmas special episode of Young Talent Time. He sang Prince's Let's Go Crazy with Vinny. Tanya Lopez has resigned to the fact that she will never watch all of the True Blood episodes because she, and I quote, can't be asked. While this has disappointed and angered a lot of the show's fans and her friend from school who suggested that she check it out, it's refreshing to hear somebody being candidly realistic. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. So I think we said last week I was a little under the weather.
Yes.
And that just continued.
It sort of did.
But it wasn't COVID.
Ah.
But it just continued.
You got that good flu.
Yeah, I got just as I said to Linz yesterday, I went, well, now I still have COVID to look forward to.
Hooray!
Still going to get it. Unless, of course, I'm one of those people that just don't.
You might not.
Maybe I only get flus. But that was officially the fourth flu that I've ever had.
Really?
In my whole entire life.
Wow.
Because, you know, colds and flus are very different. Like, yeah. I don't get many colds either.
Do you get the flu jab?
Not often.
Okay.
I've had a few.
I couldn't get it for years because it was egg based.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But now there's a non-egg based version.
I had one a couple of years ago, 2019. And I didn't get the flu.
Hey, do you want us to check out a really cool segue?
Yes.
Talking about things that have dropped with a virus.
Nice.
And stuff like that. Let's jump straight into some news. Perfect. So Mobius came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it. I didn't go. No. 2 weeks ago, maybe even. Who cares? Jared Leto, whatever.
We spoke about it last week, though.
The Living Vampire. We spoke about it last week that it came out and seemed to do quite well.
Yeah.
In its first weekend. It has dropped between, depending on who is reporting, 73% and 83% in its second weekend, which is a new record.
What a record to have.
Mm.
That's insane. Yeah, I just think that toilet break in a wheelchair story, that's the thing I'm going to remember from Morbius.
I'm going to remember it as the one that came straight after No Way Home. When Sony was shown how to make a good superhero movie by Marvel yet again, and then they went and dropped the ball.
Sorry, we weren't listening.
Just stick with Venom. Venom's great. Give us another Venom. The fun tone.
But they had a second one not long ago, right?
Yeah.
It's late last year?
Yeah. But that was delayed from COVID.
Oh, yeah, true. That's true.
This is the thing you got to remember. Mobius is the most delayed film in history.
Mm.
And clearly went through reshoots and had to change things because it was attempting to tie into where the storyline was at the time. And then another six films came out or something.
Yeah.
So it's a jumbled mess by all accounts.
That's annoying. Did you see the length of Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness has been revealed? Because there were rumors that it's going to be one of the longest ever Marvel movies, and those rumors are untrue. It is 126 minutes long, if you want to compare that to Endgame. That was 181, so a much...
Yeah, it's just over tighter. 2 hours rather than three.
Yeah, and people are saying that potentially it could be because of a lot of reshoots that they've been doing.
Yes.
And maybe it was intended to be a longer film and they're sort of cutting it back and sort of packing more in to a shorter film. I just think a 3-hour film is a lot to ask of people, no matter how exciting it is.
It's just a
long time to sit there.
It depends on the film, though.
Yeah, true.
Endgame needed 3 hours.
There was a lot in there.
They crammed a lot. But that was a capstone to 20 films.
Yeah, and so this is not.
Exactly. Look, I've got a little bit of Doctor Strange news here as well. Marvel are doing the hide characters in a trailer thing that they did with Infinity War, where they added Hulk to scenes that he wasn't in the film.
Yeah, they trick you.
They do this stuff all the time. Marvel have shown a trailer before that has Rachel McAdams, and we see the same shot in new trailers and she's not in that same shot. So everyone's going, what's going on there? But on another version of having to change things, the official poster for Doctor Strange 2 in Italy had to be very quickly changed because he's doing the, you know, his usual hand symbols of thing. And the one that he's doing on the poster is hugely offensive in Italy.
Oh, no.
So it got changed overnight.
Oh, that's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they had several versions of his hand gestures.
Correct.
Yeah, Italy does a lot of hand gesturing.
That's half the language.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to try and segue. You were talking about Sony before.
Mm.
I've got a Sony and Lego story here.
Mm.
And it's the story of them individually giving Epic Games, aka Fortnite, $1 billion each. They're investing independently in Epic Games' metaverse. Sony's already given almost $500 million. So this is $1.5 billion, I think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Lots.
A lot of money. And I'm not quite sure how metaverses are working. Well, I don't think they're working yet. I think they're going to work, right? So I don't think your Facebook metaverse that they're talking about will be the same one as the Epic.
Oh, so I can't use my Zuckbucks.
You can't use your Zuckbucks on your 40, I don't know, there's an actual word for the Fortnite money. I can't think of what it is, though. I can't think of what it is. So I think they're going to be two different metaverses, but this one seems to be, and Epic themselves are really keen on getting different companies from around the gaming and entertainment spheres of digital entertainment and having them come into the metaverse so that there'll be different areas where people can go. So the Lego are really keen on teaming up with Epic so that their part of the metaverse is really kid friendly, and this will be the place for kids to go in the metaverse. Get that.
And Lego have had a very interesting journey with digital stuff over the years. They've tried time and time again to get their own versions of whatever the current metaverse is up over the years with different Lego build games and things like that, and you know their knockoffs of Minecraft and all this sort of stuff. And for many years, a lot of their digital games were tied up with TT Games, which was owned by Warner Brother, and so they had all those properties. That relationship doesn't exist anymore, so they are open to they're able to start sowing their seeds elsewhere. And it makes a lot of sense that they would go in on people that are doing it very well already. And that's kind of the business model they shifted to the last few years of their charity work. Rather than always starting their own charity, they're identifying charities that are doing great work in kids' space and represent their values. And I can see them very, very clearly aligning with Fortnite and, you know, with Epics about this sort of stuff.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many kids that play that game. I don't think there's been any Lego characters that you can, like avatars that you can play as.
I don't think so. Fortnite? There's a real strict rule around Lego characters holding weapons and things like that.
And there are weapons in that for sure then. Yeah, that's interesting. It the way I kind of can get my head around this one is it's like Ready Player One in that you go to different planets or different areas and that will be like the Lego planet. Over here will be the Sony it's also kind of...
Roblox is kind of like that, which I doubt you've dabbled in.
No, but I've heard of it.
Roblox is very much user-driven and user-built and people build their own games and upload them to the Roblox server and there are central hubs that you hang out in.
Yeah.
And then there are community hubs within games and all this sort of stuff.
Right,
and it's all youth-focused.
Can you do that in VR? Because I imagine that's what the metaverse will... versions of metaverse will want.
Yes. I mean, it's very graphically simple.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, Shay spent a long time trying to get a bloody unicorn hat or something in that game.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Did she get one in the end?
I don't think so. Oh. And people swindle each other. Like, I've got unicorn hats for sale. Just give me 500 gold. Someone gives you 500 gold, then you run away.
Yeah, classic joke. So annoying.
Acme's number two customers, right behind Wile E. Coyote. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
There's no segue into this one because I only wrote down the headline and I didn't even read further than the weird, not quite direct to the point Vin Diesel post on Instagram.
Oh, okay. I don't know about this one. So.
Brie Larson has joined Fast and the Furious 10. Don't know as who. They were smiling and hugging each other in the photo.
Because they're good friends.
They look like they're good friends. I don't know if they've worked together before. They're in the Marvel Universe, but he's not on screen.
Maybe they've been in, what was that game she loved to play? The Nintendo game where you...
Animal Crossing?
Yeah. Maybe they had Animal Crossing.
I would not put it past him for having a fuck off good island. Oh, we're going to dig rocks.
Maybe that's where they met properly. Okay, so she's going to be in that. This is 9 or 10?
So this is 10?
10.
9 happened?
9's happened. That's right. 10 is the next
10
one.
10 is filming at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And 10 is technically 10.1 of 10.1 and 1.2.
Oh, they're doing the Walking Dead thing.
Okay. They're splitting it up. Harry Pottering.
The Harry Potter Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yep, yep.
Jason Momoa, we talked about, is in as the bad guy that will inevitably join the team, if not by the end of the film, then in the next film. And he let slip that Charlize Theron is back as Cypher, the Uber hacker again.
So, I mean, just everybody loves Charlize Theron and stuff.
It's so
doesn't
cool.
Doesn't matter what she's in.
It's so cool that, I mean, she was in awesome Oscar-worthy stuff for so long.
Yeah.
And then she made a decision. It might have been around Furiosa.
Yeah, maybe. Period. Yeah.
She made a decision of like, no, fuck that. I'm going to get jacked and I'm going to kick a lot of ass and everyone's going to be down for it. And that's her career trajectory now and everyone loves that and no one bats an eye that there's a woman in her 40s getting these roles that 10 years ago would not have been offered to her.
I also thought about that with Rosario Dawson when she joined the Star Wars universe. You know, she's, I think she's 50 maybe. Mm-hmm. Now I would like a Sandra Bullock, Charlize Theron. Who else would I like in there? Cate Blanchett.
Yes.
Adventure movie.
Sure.
Kind of think Red Notice, but without all the clips.
Can I throw Sandra Oh in that mix?
Sandra Oh, yes. Mm. We should be casting directors.
Why aren't
it
we?
Doesn't make sense. That's exciting. Look, speaking of exciting, National Trevor is a big fan of the – fan of National Treasure movies. And that's why National Trevor is so excited about the Disney Plus series that's coming, National Treasure, because we knew that Catherine Zeta-Jones is going to be in it. I think she's like a bad guy, that kind of thing. But Justin Bartha, who was in The Hangover and also the National Treasure movies, he's going to be in the series as well.
That's who everyone was holding out, hoping that he would return, not the A-list.
No, who wants Nicolas Cage in the film that you know Nicolas Cage from? No way.
Good on you, guy from The Hangover no one remembers.
Yeah, because he was hardly in the first one, right?
Yeah, he was asleep somewhere. Yeah. On the roof, I think.
He was the groom.
Spoilers.
Sorry. I just love the fact that Disney have gone, right, we've got this subscription set up here, right? We've got all this back catalogue. But we're not just going to go, here, have the back catalogue and just rest on their back catalogue laurels. They're like, we've got this back catalogue. Let's expand this back catalogue.
This is the thing. Disney have been doing this for years with the direct-to-DVD videos.
True.
You might not know that there's been two or three sequels to The Lion King that did very well on home video. So they've got this model of constantly expanding their IP and how do you add bits and stuff like that. So they've just got this other platform now and they've realised that adults love that content just as much as they had experience with kids.
Because those adults were the kids.
That's it. I think we're going to start seeing them plumb from older and older properties and aiming the nostalgia of that appropriately. So Mighty Ducks was very much aimed at our age.
Yeah.
But like I could totally see them doing some sort of Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, that'd be good.
A redo of that. Because I don't think that warrants a cinema release.
No.
But they could do a series on Disney Plus and aim it at my mum.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Aim it at your mum who will sit with Shay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that's part of their thinking now of like, okay, we can do nostalgia for everyone, but let's start moving into nostalgia, like really targeted stuff.
There's also opportunities there for them to get some of their old, really old school kid actors. So I'm talking like your Kurt Russells, your Jodie Fosters, get them back on board with a reinvented version of whatever they were in because they were in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, that worked so well for Mighty Ducks.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
That first season.
Yeah, for the first season.
For the first season. And then we've got Josh Duhamel coming. Everyone's always happy with him.
I can't wait to see Josh Duhamel doing some ice hockey.
Yeah. Will Fergie be there?
Are they still together?
Or am I referencing something from 2003?
I think they're not together anymore.
Yeah.
But
they were.
Wouldn't that be a nice little cameo? Have her in there saying something and then we'd all be like, oh, she's in it too. And the kid you're sitting with won't know who she is.
I would love it if she was cast as a spelling teacher and they walk past her classroom and she's hammering the board and she is at G-L-A and then that's enough of the joke. Move past. Easy, writing it for them.
See?
Hey, speaking of things that you weren't expecting to see.
Yeah.
That's a very tenuous segue.
That's just a segue.
This is my last news story. I've got some travels. But at the Chicago Zoo, zookeepers are having some issues with one of their teenage male gorillas. He has become addicted to mobile phones because guests keep taking photos of him and showing him. Or taking videos of him or something and showing him. And he just wants to sit at the glass to the point where male gorillas, when they're teenagers, fight each other. And that's how they determine who becomes the silverback. He doesn't care to the point where he's having his brothers run up and, like, king hit him from behind because he's so enamored with the phones. So they've had to enact a strict no social media or phones policy around the gorillas at the moment to see if they can wean him off, get him off the gear. And this is not surprising. We've been watching this happen for years now of apes, specifically apes, monkeys to a lesser extent, but apes fascinated by screens. Mm. And, you know, everyone thought it was, oh, wow, look at that orangutan. He's pressing buttons to choose food and things like that. But now we are seeing that negative impact. And it's no surprise because we know the effect it has on children. We know the effect it has on us.
Yep.
It's pretty fucked that we're starting to do it to animals now too.
But that's such a human thing to do.
Isn't it? And it's hilarious that they weren't that interested until it was themselves.
Mm.
You know,
they're just as narcissistic as us.
But that's their frame of reference. And the gorilla's mind is like, how is that me?
Mm.
Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting news story.
That's really cool. I'm going to see if I can segue. Speaking of social media bans, why was this not a ban? So Better Call Saul is going to have its final season. I think it's coming back this weekend, the 18th in
America. People are excited.
People are very excited. And so they tweeted they're coming back with a photograph of Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul.
Yes.
And they're going to be in some sort of cameo in the final thing, right? And I was thinking, like, why would they do that? Why wouldn't they just have a secret? Like, make it a secret surprise so that the real true fans who are watching it will go, oh, my God. And I'm like, no, hang on a second, Leah, what are you doing? Put a tweet out, get everybody who hasn't watched Better Call Saul for a while or have only watched.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. Yep. It makes total sense. And it makes me think The Walking Dead's not doing that with Michonne and I've forgotten his name, Andrew Lincoln.
Rick.
How did I forget the main character's name? Rick. They're not mentioning that at all, which makes me think they're not coming. Maybe there's no mention of them. Or maybe it's too early. Maybe they'll see this and go, oh, maybe we should do this. It's a fine line between giving fans what they want ahead of time so that they're anticipating it and hyped, and then the other one to surprise them and give them this great thing.
I think there's two. I'm going to throw out two reasons why. One, Walking Dead is not a critical darling.
Yeah, true.
It has not been for a long, long time.
Yeah, true.
People aren't going to start watching it. A lot of people watched and loved Breaking Bad, and a lesser number of people watched Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
It'd be a good time to get them on. The other reason, I think, and this is the main one, is that everything in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul comes directly from Vince Gilligan. It's from one person. Mm. He's made the storyline calls, all the choices, this sort of stuff. So if he makes the call, yes, let's reveal that, it's tying into the more popular series. It's a great way to do it. Walking Dead doesn't have that. Angela Kang, doing a great job, has no relation to the first seasons. Do you know what I mean? It's a different thing. So, yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. I can see all sorts of reasons why.
Yeah.
And I don't think having the Breaking Bad guys on Better Call Saul makes sense, and I don't think it overshadows the thing. Whereas if they announce that Rick and Michonne are coming back, it's going to overshadow everything else, and we're just like, oh, when's this going to happen?
Mm.
I don't give a shit what's happening with Eugene. I don't care. Then we're all focused on that. In the same way that we're like watching this and we're like, well, Maggie's not going to die. Carol's not going to die.
Yeah.
We know all this stuff. Hopefully, maybe they're double bluffing us and they've announced all these spin-offs and a few of them are bunk and it's purposely to throw us off the scent for who they're going to kill. Just saying.
I don't mind that.
That, I could see that being the direction that AMC chooses to go with this show.
I don't know how to segue to my last story. I'll just say it.
Just say it.
I'll just say it. Will Ferrell has signed up to be in the Margot Robbie film Barbie, which we've talked about. We're new. So Ryan Gosling is Ken, Margot Robbie, Barbie. We've also got America Ferrera in there, Kate McKinnon, Simu Liu. I mean, this is got all of the people in it that you suddenly, I'm like, I didn't know I wanted to watch a movie about Barbie, but now I do.
Well, even if I don't want to, I will have to.
But the cast is there, right? The cast is there, and that tells you that you're going to have a good time.
This is not the first Barbie movie I've seen. I watched Barbie Dolphin Magic.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
It was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Shay loved it. Shay was full. So make that what you will. But I feel like this is going to lean more of the Lego movie style,
yeah,
surely.
I think so.
A bit out there.
I'm legitimately looking forward to that. I just think that everybody they've got there,
it's a good mix,
has something to offer.
Yeah.
I wonder who Will Ferrell's going to be. I haven't said. Well, I only know Barbie and Ken, so it's kind of like, well, not those two.
Yeah.
You said you got trailers?
Yeah, I got two trailers. One of them actually I wrote down last week and is out now on Netflix. You can catch it. Came out on Friday, called Metal Lords. It's executive produced by Tom Morello, guitarist for Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, right.
And it's a couple of high schoolers who hate their everyday lives and this sort of stuff, and they're driven by the goal of becoming metal lords.
Is it a film?
It is a film. It looks quite funny. I haven't watched it yet. There's been too much on, but I will be watching it and I will come back to let you know.
Yeah, you can watch it over the Easter break.
That's right. The other one is another Netflix trailer coming May 13th. It was just revealed this morning. There's a film called Senior Year.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Rebel Wilson. She is a cheerleader in, I want to say, 1992,
mm-hmm,
somewhere around there. Well, that's not Rebel Wilson. That's someone else. And she's cheer captain and the pyramid collapses and she goes into a coma.
Oh, no.
And she wakes up today as Rebel Wilson.
Oh, premise. Yep.
And Rebel insists on going back to school to finish high school.
That, so we've almost got the Never Been Kissed thing, yep, with Drew Barrymore, except it's far less secretive.
And it's mixed with an awful lot of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, of her not understanding cultural references and insisting. She seems very anti-woke.
Yeah, of course. Well, she would be. I mean, would not.
And like, yeah, what's this participation bullshit? Who's cheer captain? And
yeah,
and like, I'm cheer captain. I'm cheer captain. I'm also cheer captain.
We're
like,
all what? The cheer captains.
Like, the fuck is this? This sort of stuff. So that could be fun.
Is that Netflix?
It is Netflix.
I'm going to watch that one.
Yes. So it's new, skinny rebel looking hot.
Oh, yeah. She's really put a lot of effort into getting fit and
she looks real good.
Yeah, that's cool.
She looks real good. Good on her. Good on her.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go, two trailers.
And both of them legitimately we can watch right now. And
oh, sorry, A Senior Year comes out in May.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not too far, though.
It's not far at all. Not far at all. But you know what is also not far?
What?
Bloody fun fact.
Oh.
Jump in the back. Let's go for a ride.
All right.
Today's one is because we were talking about gorillas. I was like, you know what? I'm going to find a fun fact about a gorilla film and stuff. And some of the facts are not that fun. Some of them are pretty dry. But I did find this fun fact about Mighty Joe Young, which I don't know if you remember. So you've got King Kong, giant gorilla.
Yep.
Mighty Joe Young, less giant gorilla, but a real friendly guy.
What kind of era are we talking?
So there was one made way back when, but it got remade in, I want to say, 1998. Starred Charlize Theron.
Oh, yes.
And it was a bunch of gorilla handlers who, this gorilla, he had some pituitary gland or something that had caused him to continue growing, and they wanted to try and rescue him and get him to the wilds of Africa or somewhere like that. And he was attempting to be poached, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, so since Gorillas in the Mist, which came out in 1988, Rick Baker, special effects master extraordinaire, he stated that he wouldn't do any more projects that involved creating animatronic apes. Now, Rick Baker, dear in my heart for his work on American Werewolf in Paris. Mm-hmm. The transformation scene of the werewolf is horrible in that film, and it's so good. He also did a lot of Gremlins and this sort of stuff. He's the guy, and Star Wars and things. He's the guy.
He's the go-to.
He's the go-to weird creature.
Yeah, make this look strange.
Correct.
And icky.
Correct. So Baker had to break his statement of no more Apes when he did Baby's Day Out in 1994, which featured a gorilla scene. After that, he said he would never do any more ape projects. But when he got called to work on Mighty Joe Young, Baker's love for the original film changed his mind, as he also saw it as a chance of redemption for the work he'd done on King Kong in 1976, since he designed the King Kong suit and portrayed Kong himself, and he wasn't really as happy with it as it could have been. Mighty Joe Young was the last for which Baker created an animatronic gorilla suit, and he swore never again. However, he later added Planet of the Apes in 2001.
He's got to stop saying never again.
But he didn't have to do a gorilla in that suit.
There's a technicality there.
So yeah, this is just ape. But still, for a guy that was like, never fucking again, I'm not doing, any more apes.
No way.
So many damn apes.
Was the 2001 Planet of the Apes the one with Mark Wahlberg?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Awful. Awful.
I will take your word for
it. Anyway, there you go. There's a whole bloody lot of gorilla goodness. Get it up, yeah.
I've got a John Candy quiz for you coming up a little bit later on because I was inspired because I watched something with him in it over this week. So why don't we get into some watching suggestions?
Shh, crack it open.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
It's about that time. We're a couple of episodes in. Should we talk about Moon Knight?
Let's do it. I'm loving it. What's your take?
I thought that first episode was phenomenal, and the second episode really started to get into its stride. Like it had to let down some of those mystery barriers,
yes.
Which is good. Otherwise, I felt like we would be they'd be just stringing us along for a bit. Yeah, exactly. They got to get into it. I'm intrigued to see if Ethan Hawke really is who he's claiming he is, because he seems evil at first, but there were a couple of little moments that he said things and I went, oh, maybe he is that way because of whatever's happened. But that's what this series is. It's all about, I don't know what's real and what's not.
His whole deal is kind of like Thanos on a personal level.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. So is he from the comics? Do you know? Is that character from the comics?
That character was a throwaway character for like two issues in the 70s.
Yeah, okay.
And they've just kind of taken a name and given that's him good. Different attributes. The whole former Avatar of Khonshu is not a thing.
Yeah, okay.
There have been other former things. So they're kind of melding a lot of different character traits from different characters and things, and it's making a very interesting mix.
Mm. Well, also, it's making, once again, people who are big fans of the comics have to second guess and try and figure it out. They don't know the story ahead of time.
Again, they've remixed a lot of Moon Knight stuff. Steven is very different in the comics. He's not bumbling. He's the money man.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that, you know, in the comics, he's a TV producer and makes all the money that Moon Knight needs to operate.
Sure.
There's also another personality called Jake, who is a London taxi driver, and he's the guy
that's kind of who he's based on.
Well, I don't know. Steven really isn't in that either, because Jake's a real wise guy from the streets.
Oh, right.
I can't do a wise guy British accent, but he's like,
yeah, I'm being cockney.
Yeah, he's apples and pears, mate. Come on, back in the cab, I'll get you around the corner. But he finds out all the nitty gritty of where things are happening and stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's bits and pieces that are missing, and that helps keep me on the back foot and wondering what's going on. And I'm really enjoying it.
He does the accent well.
It's very good. It's exactly what someone who just developed a new personality and thought they might be British might sound like.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because we know that he's not British and has never been British in reality, you kind of just put up with it. I still like the idea. There's theories going around that everyone that works at that museum is Truman showing him. And they all know that Steven's not the main personality, and Mark set him up with that job. Because he can come and go, and he shows up late and he doesn't get fired.
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff. That those people around are kind of supporting his mental break.
I don't mind that theory at all.
I'm
intrigued about the mother. Mm-hmm. I knew there was something up with that mum in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a couple of little mentions. I think his wife said something about the mother. And I'm like, ooh. I can't wait to find out more about that.
Yes. And I like where we're at now. So we've got Ethan as a former Moon Knight.
Yep.
Who's trying to convince him that Khonshu is bad. Then you've got him and he's just found out that Khonshu wants his wife as the next avatar,
yeah.
which would put him in Ethan's position,
That's
all
right.
this sort of stuff. What lengths will Mark go to keep his job?
And how many were there between Ethan and Stephen or Mark? You know, we don't know that either. Lots of
Khonshu's been doing this a long time.
I do like a good mystery, and this is offering me a mystery. I think we're going to get some more classic Marvel moments, as in fight scenes. I think they're going to gradually become bigger and better and more apparent mm-hmm. as the season goes. I look back at the series. The Marvel series so far, as someone who is a casual Marvel watcher, I still think I enjoyed Wanda
mm-hmm.
the most. Then maybe this one. Then the Arrow. No, what's it called?
Hawkeye.
My goodness, that one. I like the Christmassy bit and the little, there was a little twist at the end, which I quite like. And then Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
What about Loki?
Oh yeah, Loki. Okay, so Loki would be three.
Yep.
Ahead of Hawkeye.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fair. I have heard a rumor, and I'm sure it's just bullshit, but so Khonshu is just one of the Egyptian gods, and we know that yes. Amit is floating around and other things. And it's kind of now that we've had Eternals and other things in the Marvel Universe, they haven't addressed previous gods, but Thor 4 is coming soon, and we know that's all about gods. And Christian Bale is playing Gore the God Butcherer. Which should the name should give you an idea of what his favorite pastime is. There are rumors going that Christian Bale may cameo in the finale of Moon Knight, killing the other Egyptian gods, which would lead to Khonshu having more power. There was a recent storyline in the comics where Khonshu. Basically, Khonshu the god has a nervous and mental breakdown because he's seen a potential future where Mephisto the devil takes over everything and ruins everything and kills all the other gods, all sorts of stuff. So Khonshu decides that he's had enough of playing equal level playing field with all the other gods, and he instructs Moon Knight to go and take out the other Avengers and steal their totems. So he takes Thor's hammer and can carry it. He takes the Eye of Agamotto, so the time control from Doctor Strange. He takes out Black Panther, all of these, and amasses his own power to give Khonshu, and Khonshu almost elevates to the position of God.
Number one.
Yeah, so that stuff will not happen in this series, but I could see that other gods being picked off because that's going to be a theme.
I wonder if Ethan will have anything to do with that. I don't think so. I think Ethan's on a different path.
Yeah.
Oh, the mystery, the intrigue.
It's all there.
It's all there, and we get to enjoy it weekly, which I think is really good.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you a quick one.
Yeah.
I know about a year ago I told you that Warhammer had launched Warhammer Plus, their own online version of Disney Plus or whatever, streaming
yeah.
service.
Yeah.
And a lot of the content they put out there is battle reports, so it's top-down, very cinematic and creatively done, you know, people playing the game and recording and narrating and this sort of stuff as they go. They also do episodes of Lore Masters, which is where someone does a deep delve, you know, diving into the history of a particular character or faction or all this sort of stuff. But they also have some really fancy animated series. And they only do one series at a time, and they're working with different independent animators that they've brought in-house and this sort of stuff. They had one series called Hammer and Bolter, and that was very good, and that was about the stock standard good guy, bad guy sort of things. They've recently had three episodes, and I can't believe it was only three episodes because it was so good, but a series called The Exodite.
Exodite.
The Exodite. Mm-hmm. And Exodite in the Warhammer universe is there is a race called the Eldar or the Eldari, and they are space elves, thousands of years old. You know, they live very long time.
That's what elves do.
They were the galaxy's greatest civilization many years ago, and they had a fall from grace.
Oh, this sounds like The Witcher. Yeah, okay.
Terribly much so, very much based on that. The Exodites are a subsect of that faction who left and turned their back on that way of life and this sort of stuff. So they live solitary, lone lives, quite often protecting planets from other, you know, invasive species and this sort of stuff. They will protect core things. The Exodite is played by Clancy Brown, who voices Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob. He was on Lost. He's Clancy Brown. You've seen him in a ton of things. Trust me on this.
Clancy Brown.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I just have to look him up.
He was on Carnivale for years. He's the dude.
Yeah.
And he's got a really gruff, deep, over it, almost cowboy country style drawl.
Mm.
Really, really, really great voice. So he is playing this Eldar character who's this sort of stuff. Who is stationed for reasons we don't quite know on a world that is seeing two different younger factions fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's narrating over the top of like these upstart young races. They don't know what they're bringing. You know, this cycle, this pattern. There is no end in war and this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. They're only 11-minute episodes and there were only three of them. But, oh, boy, it was awesome. The action was great. It didn't feature much of – so the Space Marines are the poster boys for Warhammer and they're everything. And they're great and I love them and they're generic as shit. Do you know what I mean? Like they're all in the same power thing. It's basically Stormtroopers.
Yeah, okay.
And they're supposed to be the hero but they're really fascist and all this sort of stuff. So in this one instead we have the Tau are basically communist. And it's they're about the expansion and bringing people into the fold, and they prefer to use diplomacy. And you know, they are the Commonwealth on Walking Dead. If they say, "Oh, we're here to help," but not really, you have to
adopt our ways. Mine. Yep.
That type of thing. So it's them against the Astra Militarum, which are the
name.
It isn't. It's Astra the humans. Militarum. Just the base humans. Okay.
Yeah.
Cannon fodder. They are there to die.
Okay.
Their job is to run in front of the tanks.
So
it's a massive battle all going on between the two of them, and those two haven't been featured much in animation yet. And you know the communist Tau are all in like Robotech. Flying mech warrior costumes,
exoskeleton, all
this
stuff.
Sort of stuff.
Yep.
And then the humans have bayonets strapped to the front of their rifles, thanks. This sort of stuff. Really invented battle. And then you've got this Exodite character watching from above. And the main plot is following a small stealth team of the mech guys trying to track down this Eldar and take him out. And he's not having that.
Yeah,
and there's
a
big plan that he has in place that he enacts right at the end that may change events for the whole universe.
Ooh.
So it was like, oh, not only was this dude holding out, he was holding out for a hero.
So definitely wasn't a three episodes and we're done.
It feels like the storyline can pay off in the game itself. Like
narratively
moving
really
forward,
good.
they established a plot point there, which they don't tend to do too much outside of the real official canon stuff. So it was just super satisfying.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And they release them all in one go?
No, so it was one episode every like 3 weeks or something like that. Because a lot of these are made by one or two people at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
I know that you had spoken about the fact that this was going to be a thing. And it's good that
I hadn't checked in on
it. It's now paid off.
Yeah, look, it started very slow and they will admit that. And, you know, there were some weeks where there was no new video stuff uploaded. It was just old issues of magazines and things like that. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But when you sign up, you get to pick one of two models, like physical models that aren't for sale, and you get one of them at the end of the year. And it was this, like, if they were selling that as a model in store, it was the same price as what it would have cost to sign up.
Cool. So yeah, they thought about it.
It's all win all round.
Yeah.
But great stuff, Warhammer Plus. Good on you.
Good on you, Warhammer. Look, we've been given a couple of books to read over the Easter break.
Your book is a lot thicker. Let's just say that now.
It's very thick.
Let's just give context. I got given a book for the youth.
Yeah.
I have a book about Bluey, which everyone knows I love Bluey. But it's Bluey's Easter story. And it's
perfect.
It's bloody lovely. It's a little bit young for Shay, even though Shay still loves the show, but she's starting to pick up a lot more of the witty humour.
Yeah,
but Lily loved all the bright colours, and that's what she loves about Bluey.
That's what Bluey's all about, right?
Positivity, all this sort of stuff. There is a great funny running joke in the book about, that's not an Easter egg, that's a Kiwi. Good one, Dad.
Classic.
Dad loves a dad
He's
joke.
He's a good one.
Lily really enjoyed it.
It's good for kids to have those Christmas or Easter, you know, those kind of event books, because it means that they don't read it until, you know, once a year kind of thing, and it's fresh. Because I haven't read it 400 times for the last 3 days.
That's it. Now, look, I know I said it's not maybe a bit too young for Shay, but she's away at the moment, so I haven't got to read it. There is a section here where they're searching for chocolate Easter eggs in the bathroom, and one of them might not be a chocolate Easter egg.
Oh, no.
But it's not alluded to in such a way that the young children will catch that. But I think Shay's going to
get it. Oh, that's good fun. Well, mine is called You and Me on Vacation, I should say,
by nice.
Emily Henry. Yeah, Penguin has sent us both these books, and this one is sort of touted as a good one if you're going away, like a nice holiday read. So I've, ahead of the Easter holiday, I'm only 15 pages into it, and I can already see that this is a nice one that you get through really quickly. Like
It's a page turner
in a funny way. Like, they're funny. So the story is these two best friends, they go on summer trips together.
Yes.
Over the space of time. And I have a feeling, because one's a guy and one's a girl, the romance might happen. I don't know. I may be spoiling it for myself. I'm not sure. But they definitely seem like that is the kind of thing. And if you're going to go and get an Airbnb somewhere or go up, you know, sit on a beach or by a pool, I think this is the kind of book that you would enjoy.
Crack a cover and enjoy.
Exactly. So thank you to Penguin Books for supplying us with
very cool
still books. Very kind of them too. Yeah,
always very enjoy kind. That. Love a good book.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Last year I read over 20 books, so I decided for my Goodreads that I'd put it up to 22 books.
Sure.
So I've really got to start cracking into it.
I've been reading a lot of digital comics lately.
Yeah, okay.
I'm averaging about probably 1,200 pages a week.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you got Bluey then.
But I'm going away on Friday, and I just went and found Jurassic Park again in the novel. I love that. It's a difficult read.
Yeah, but
it's so scientific.
Yeah.
Very dry.
A lot of his books are, though.
I know. Yeah. I love it. Oh, give me the reasons why.
There was one I read. I can't remember what it was called, but it was set in Hawaii, I think, and there were these tiny little – he
swarm?
Loves nanotech.
The nano swarm.
Yeah.
Everyone was convinced that's what the smoke monster in Lost was.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would make sense.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening – follow the Watchers on Twitter and Instagram.
I just want to talk about this John Candy movie that I watched.
Yeah.
Because it's about – the quiz is about it. So I was just hanging around on the weekend. I'm like, I feel like watching something old that I've definitely seen before but haven't seen for a long time, therefore I don't know the storyline. And the two films that came into my head were from the 80s. This one was from 1984, I think, called Summer Rental. And the other one I thought might be a good option was Summer School. And that one had Courtney Thornton – Smith, is that her name?
Sure. I've not seen either of these films.
Oh, well, Summer School's probably really bad in hindsight, but I don't know. I didn't end up watching it. Instead, I chose Summer Rental. And the reason I had to choose one and not both was because I couldn't find them on any streaming sites. I had to rent that film.
Ooh,
yeah,
sure.
So I did that on Amazon. John Candy, Summer Rental. He's an overworked father. I'm pretty sure they come from Chicago because that's where all families come from in America. And the boss is like, no, you have to go on holidays. You have to for the summer. And the wife's behind it and the kids are excited. So they rent a beach house in, I think it's in Florida, potentially even Miami. So they go down there and what a wonderful time they have. Beautiful beach house until they realize in the middle of the night, they've got the wrong beach house. That's not the one they rented. They rented the crappy one down the other end of the beach where the little laneway where the pedestrians all walk into the beach, they're right there. And, oh, gosh, he just has a terrible time. It's still funny. It's not great, but I enjoyed it.
Sure. Okay.
It was great to watch a movie that – because when I think John Candy, like you think Cool Runnings – I even think Great Outdoors, which is one I really want to watch. Home Alone, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, that kind of thing. And then there are these ones that are not your Uncle Buck's, but they're still kind of fun to watch. I like when you...
Everyone had to get a start somewhere. Was that early? Was that early candy?
84, so...
As old as I am.
Yeah, I'd say later 80s were his heyday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Summer rental. Unfortunately, you do have to rent it, though, if you do want to go back and relive watching it.
Get stuck in.
Did you watch anything else?
I will give a two-sentence update on Tournament of Champions, which I'm still loving, the cooking show and stuff. Last year's big winner, Manit, was eliminated this week. So it's anyone's game. Brooke, who won season one, seems to be coming in hot.
Ooh.
But we'll see. But I want to give a shout-out, Chef's Tobias. He's through to the semifinals in a big upset. He was the seventh seed in the fourth bracket. And he has now fought up to win that entire bracket into the semis.
That's amazing. So
he's into the final four. The dude is he's such a champ. He used to be an NFL player, massive big dude, has huge anxiety issues.
Oh, yeah.
And so like almost tried to drop out of this week's competition. Oh. And there's just a little bit of footage from far away of guy talking to him outside. And it's not a hand over the shoulder way. It's like, come on, man, you're a big football player and stuff. I know you got this. I've seen you work. That's and it, nice. he talked to him as a coach.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it just clicked with the guy and he came back in like beast mode. Oh,
that's really good.
It really worked. And then afterwards he was crying and stuff, talking very openly. And it was a really nice moment of everyone celebrating the fact of like, hey, this dude struggles and he talks about it openly all the time.
That's good.
Let's celebrate the fact that he rose to the challenge today, apart from the fact that he's kicking ass in this competition.
Good on him.
I love that sort of story.
Look, I've been watching Top Chef and we just finished watching season 5, I think. And the funny thing about watching them this way is that I've seen a couple of the later seasons, one of them being the All-Stars, right? So I know some of the people, but those people aren't always the winners. They're usually runners-up or at least in the top 6 kind of thing, right? So there were a couple of faces that I recognized and I was like, oh, okay, it's definitely either that one or that one. I would like it. I like it to be that person, but probably not. Definitely not that person. It was the definitely not that person that won. And I was like, I've never seen you before. I assume now that you haven't done anything with Top Chef over the years. And Tom, the judge Tom, not you, the judge Tom sort of said about this person. I don't want to give the gender away in case people are still catching up because it's good fun not to know, you know. They said, Tom said about this person, you're very consistent. I'm like, oh, you just won the most consistent award. That's not a good,
very, very good at toast.
you've not made anything great. You've also not made anything terrible. You're just there. And that's one Top Chef.
That's always the person that comes third on Big Brother.
Yeah, it's always the Big Brother. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm still here.
Thanks, Gretel, for talking to me. I want to do this John Candy quiz. What do you reckon?
I'm so ready.
It's called John Candy Character's Name. So I'm going to give you two names. One I've made up, one is the actual character's name from the film.
Okay, you're going to see that I've got some glaring omissions in my John Candy knowledge, I'm sure.
I have glaring omissions. I only knew one.
Okay, all right. Then this will be a fun challenge. If you beat me at home, let me know.
This was his character in Planes, Trains and Automobiles, Griffin Davies, or Del Griffin.
Ooh.
Griffin Davies or Del Griffin.
I knew Griffin was a name.
I didn't. I'd completely forgotten.
I want to say Griffin Davies.
I'm sorry to say it's Del Griffin. Yeah. What would Del be short for?
Del Boy?
Yeah, Del Boy Griffin. That would be it. I don't know. I can't.
Rudolph?
Madeline.
No.
Yeah, Madeline. That's it. In Home Alone, was his character's name Gus Polinski or Dale Devins? Gus Polinski or Dale Devins? Home Alone. He was just in the back. He was part of the band, right? He was sitting in the back of the truck. Leader. Yeah. Did he have a trombone?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good, Alan. It's good. The first one.
Yes, Gus Polinski.
Gus Polinski, because I remember it being a very ski name.
Yeah, yeah, the Polish sort of name. Cool Runnings. Surprisingly, you've only ever knew one. Well, at least this is an IMDb. It's only one name, first name. Don't get second name.
Cher?
It's not Cher. Is it Merv or Irv? Mervin or Irvin? Irving. Irving?
Irvin. Irvine.
Irvine. Merv or Irv?
I want to say Merv.
It's Irv.
Oh, I feel like I should know that. I've watched that film a lot of times. I have it on a T-shirt.
I only watched it last year and I wouldn't be able to
tell
you.
Have you seen today's T-shirt?
Let me have a look.
I got some new T-shirts. So.
A meme a day keeps the crippling depression away. And the meme is a kid. Wait.
Dressed as a businessman. And he's just loving, he's a businessman and he's enjoying a Dagwood dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nice.
And this one, he's wearing glasses because he's too cool for you.
That guy's cool.
He's down here making cash money.
And up the top, he's holding a skateboard on his shoulder.
He is.
What's that one?
That's someone dying of crippling depression.
Yeah, it looks like someone from The Office from over here.
Yeah, it's not the kid.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Thanks. I don't know why I had to show you that right now. Oh, because I have a cool running shirt.
Oh, yes. I've seen your cool running shirt. I've definitely seen that one. The only character's name, the only John Candy character's name that I knew was from Spaceballs. Is it Mog or Barf?
Oh. I know this one. I'm just leaning away from the microphone for dramatic effect and so everyone can have an answer.
Just a little thing.
I was calling for this person at about 3:30 this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Barf.
And do you remember what Mog is? Because Mog is in Spaceballs. It is who Barf is. Barf is a half man, half dog. He's a Mog. He's his own best friend. Yeah. Yeah. Vacation, if you remember, he was the security guard.
Security guard at Wally World.
Wally World. Is it Lasky or Husky? Lasky or Husky?
I'm pretty sure Chevy Chase makes a joke about it, doesn't he? I can't remember. Is it Husky?
I can't remember. It's Lasky.
Lasky.
I wonder if that's another, like, Polish name. Like, you know, oh, my name is Pulaski. Just call me Lasky for short.
Oh, shit, universe. Yeah,
that's right. And the final one is the film that I watched on the weekend, Summer Rental. Is his character's name Johnny Utah or Jack Chester? Both are actual characters' names from films.
Oh, I'm aware. I feel like if Johnny Utah was used elsewhere other than the other film that's in, then that's something we'd talk about.
Yeah,
so what was the other one you said?
Jack Chester.
That one. Is that?
That's right, yeah.
Hey, I got one right.
Hey, Jack Chester. So Johnny Utah is Keanu's name in Point Break. Johnny Utah. Because I saw the name Jack and I was like, well, Keanu's always a John or a Jack in everything.
It certainly is.
And I was scrolling down and I saw that before I saw Speed because I'm going with the Speed name. He's a Jack in that. Can't think of his last name though. Keanu's. Jack Chester, maybe. We'll never, there's no way of finding out. We'll never ever know.
Mehoff. Yeah, Jack Mehoff.
Jack. I can't do the voice. I was trying to do Mo's voice.
Whoa, Jack Mehoff. That's Keanu.
Yeah, it's Keanu being, Mo being Keanu. You will not be on the episode next week.
Nope.
We've got Nathaniel coming in to take your place.
Good-o.
So I'm expecting a fair bit of Star Wars talk.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy about.
Things will be choice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you enjoy your week off. And on that note, thank you very much.